You know, it's something awesome about this pulpit. Amen? See, what's awesome about it, regardless if you come in and lead worship or some speaker comes in, they reach so many lives in so many ways. And see, I'm not talking about just in this room, but I'm talking about around the world. That's a testimony. Amen? It's an honor to be in this pulpit. And this morning, while we're supporting our pastor, let's give him some honor right now. Let's give him a hand clap and let him know that we're going to support him in this time. The Bible says to honor the person where an honor is due. Amen? And he served us for so many years. And we also want to welcome the people who are online watching. We thank you for participating. A few weeks ago, I was asked to speak. And after I got initially over my nerves and said, okay, I went to my prayer closet. And I started praying, God, what do you want me to preach on? Because if you're not in it, it's going to be over pretty quick. And he only would give me one word. I said, I need more than that. I need more than one word, God. But the one word was hope. And it just kept on pounding me. Hope. 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 And I couldn't get past it, so I said, okay, God, I get the message. Now what's the rest of it? And so I started researching what hope actually meant, and I came across a prayer that I wanted to share with you that a little boy prayed over when it came to his Thanksgiving meal. You ready? Here it goes. Dear God, I sure hope that the Redskins will win the Super Bowl this year. Now, I'm not sure if that dude's prayer was ever answered. We can't even call them the Redskins. What am I talking about? Anyways, the morning I want to speak on is hope. And I believe each and every one of us need that today. We need hope in our lives. See, today's title is this. I am tired on the inside, but I have hope in my DNA. I'm going to make sure you get this. I'm tired on the inside, but I have hope in my DNA. See, when we have hope in our DNA, we start to see that God is the healer. When we have hope in our DNA, we see that he's a barrier breaker, a bondage breaker. When we have hope in our DNA, we can see the very yoke that's been so heavy on our shoulders for years start to break. When hope is in our DNA, we start to see our lives transform before our eyes. See, when we have hope in our DNA, we're able to see God more than meets the eye. We can start seeing God as I am that I am. When we have hope in our DNA, we can start seeing past the times of today and seeing what the promises of God's tomorrow. But hope is not always easy to hold on to, is it? It's like kind of sometimes hope is kind of like a wet, slippery soap. And let me get my words. I'm starting to speak in tongues. Hope is like a slippery soap that don't stay in your hands very long. It just slips right out. And let's be honest, sometimes we feel that way, don't we? It's hope just slipped right out of our hands. We can't get a strong grasp on it. But you know what? Every time I read in the Bible a hopeless situation, it is the setup for something to hope for. See, when I read the Garden of Eden, I don't see just a fall, but I see where God already had the promise for the resurrection. You know, when I start reading about Nehemiah, I don't see about the walls falling, but I see them not just building, but they have been built. When I see about Jesus himself, I don't see just the crucifixion. I see the resurrection. See, every time there was a hopeless situation, there's always grounds for hope. And that's what I'm here to tell you this morning. Regardless of what you're facing in your situation today, or even yesterday, or even tomorrow, you have grounds for hope. Because you've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. If you're with me, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'm going to share a little story with you about hope out of my personal life. When I was at Emmanuel College, I was about 19 years old. It was around the late 90s to the early 2000s. And during this time, it was the Brownsville Revival was taking place. Who remembers the Brownsville Revival? It took place. There was a lot of miracles that was taking place in Brownsville, Florida. And miracles were taking place, and people were getting saved, and deliverance was taking place. Well, I was on this drama team, and part of serving the drama team, there was a girl that was on this drama team that I liked. Well, she announced to the whole drama team that she was going to the Brownsville Revival for a whole week. Well, I got this crazy idea. I went up to her and said, listen, to this young lady, I need you to have a prayer for me when you get to Brownsville with all that anointing. It's unspoken, but God knows what it is. You're going to be in the anointing of God. I want you to be praying for something. She goes, sure. I had all kinds of hope that she would say this prayer. It was a prayer that me and her will get together when she gets back. I think my prayer was just like the Super Bowl. It never happened. You know, talking about prayer, you know, beginning in January, I started praying that me and my child, or all my kids, would get closer together this year. Let me warn you, be careful what you pray for. See, in January, February, and March, I didn't know if that prayer was ever going to be answered, because we were really busy here. We had some traveling to take place. I went to, you know, a celebrant with Conrad. I went to Georgia for an internship. And as soon as I got back from that intro trip, bam, March happens and we are in quarantine. Let me tell you, being in quarantine with three kids, it's like being in solitary confinement. I was going crazy. Now, I'm just joking with that one, but my kids are going to end up killing me if they see this. But I could realize prayer does answer. We just don't always get it what we hope for. We don't get it in the way we hope for it to happen. You know, I didn't pray for a quarantine, but I did pray for me and my children to get closer together. God just opened the door for what Satan meant for evil. For me to get closer to my family. Sometimes we need to look for those open doors. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with my sermon. It's been really crazy these past few weeks. Actually, I would say it's been really crazy these past few months. We've all heard the song, Spring Up a Well. Well, we need to start singing maybe Spring Up a Well of Hope. That's how crazy these weeks been, these months have been. I mean, we even closed the church majority of this year. Think about this. The church might have been closed, the doors to the church, but the church actually hasn't been closed. The body has been open the whole time. That tomb has been open the whole time. And because of that, the enemy has been attacking even harder because we've been fighting harder. And you know what? We don't have to sit down and take it. We can fight back. Amen? And we fight back with our hope. We fight back with the promises that God has given us. See, we can fight back knowing and having a hope, even though we have had, these are some definitions that are things that I want to ask you. In the past 6 months, have you felt heavy-hearted? Have you felt overwhelmed? Or maybe nothing's really going to ever go right? Or maybe even felt that your faith and your hope has leaked out or has failed you or maybe even has been stolen from you? We do not have to live in that type of feeling. Instead, we can live in the promises of today where God has said, I will always be there with you. I'm the same as God as yesterday, today, and forever. Hope sometimes might slip away, but God brings it right back into our lap. Amen? All we have to do is look at the cross. We don't have to look at, find our hope in people. Amen? We don't have to find our hope in family or our career or in our health. We don't have to find our hope in material things. Amen? All we need is God. And that's where we find our hope. If you know that in the New Testament, the Greeks wrote, it was written in Greek, and the Greeks wrote this. They translated hope into this, epis. It's E-L-P-I-S, epis. And the reason they did that is because they find their hope based on peace. I think they had something to go on there, don't you? Their hope was based on peace. And that's what I want us to talk about today. Are you with me in John chapter 4? Everybody say amen if you are. If I didn't hear you, oh well, I'm sorry. I usually skip over the first three verses of this passage because I want to get to the meat of it. But God showed me something from the first three that I want to focus on for a few moments. It says in verse 1, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees, which they really didn't, the Pharisees, just to let you know, really didn't like Jesus. When the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and verse 2 says, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, verse 3, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. He left Judea and departed to Galilee. In other words, Jesus didn't allow other people who, regardless if they liked him or didn't like him, to contradict where he was headed. He didn't let other people dictate what he was going to do in the ministry. He didn't care whether he was liked or disliked. And if we're going to grasp on a hope, we need to do the same thing. We need to not care what other people think about us. Because when we start caring about other people and not what God thinks, then we start letting go of our very hope that has actually been ingrained in our hearts. Because when we start hoping on to God, then or holding on to God, then that's when we truly can hold on to hope. It is his opinion that matters, not nobody else's. Now, I have 8 points, so we're going to be here for about 5 hours. Now, actually, if you ask the last crowd, it was about 20 minutes. But here is my second message, or second point. Here's the takeaway. Not only do we need to not let a single person or situation or a problem control us and not let them do that, we also need to pick up on verse 4. But he needed to go through Samaria. The second takeaway, think about it. He needed to go to Samaria. Why is that important? To let you know kind of idea of how they traveled back then, even though Samaria was a shortcut to Galilee, the Jews would go around Samaria because they didn't want to have any encounter with the Samaritans. But Jesus would not let normal travel or a routine route contradict him from reaching someone. He didn't let what might have been a troubled or a hard pathway keep him reaching from what was on his heart and what his goal was. And we can't do that either. We can't let our past pathways contradict where we're going to head in the future. See, I'm going to share with you a little bit of a story. When I was a kid, I don't remember ever celebrating my birthday. I just don't remember it. I got into my head and I wouldn't tell people my birthday because if they didn't know my birthday, then I could be disappointed when we didn't celebrate my birthday or when they didn't wish me happy birthday. So when I get to Emmanuel College, I'm with these guys and with some of my friends and they're going, Roger, when is your birthday? Roger, when's your birthday? And I wouldn't tell them. And I told them why I wouldn't tell them. Well, they were just as crazy as I was because they broke into the administration office. I should have got them from some type of HIPAA law or something. I don't know. Anyway, they found out what my birthday was, which is October 8th. And from October 1st to October 7th, they wished me happy birthday every day. It kind of got annoying in a way, but it was sweet. October 8th comes, and they didn't wish me happy birthday one time. I said, they are just like me. They're just mean. I get to my room that evening, and I will never forget this. I walk in, and I can't barely open the door or walk on my floor because it's not visible. All I saw was balloons everywhere. I walk over to my desk that I barely used and saw this birthday cake bigger than I've ever seen before. It said, happy birthday, Roger. We love you. That's not it. I get to my bunk, and they had a gift that represented every year of my birth until I was 18 years old. Since then, I have been able to not let my past contradict my future because of my hard path that I had to travel. Since then, I've been able to step into a freedom that I've never been able to step into before. And you know what? You could do the same. You don't have to let your past pathways predict where you're going to head in the future. If I did, I would not be here up here today. The third takeaway today is this, that we find in John chapter 4, verse 5. It says this. So he came to a city called Samaria, near the plot ground where Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Therefore, being weary from his journey, Jesus sat by the well about the sixth hour. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Let's focus on verse 8. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. For his disciples gone into a way to buy food in the city. Some translations say that he sent them away. And that's the third thing I want to talk about. And I'm not saying that the disciples, Jesus was sending them away because they were getting on his nerves or anything. But sometimes we need to send loved ones away that's speaking death into our mission. I don't think I said that loud enough. Sometimes we need to send the very ones we love away because they're speaking death into our situation, into our mission, into the vision that we have. Not that we love them any less, but you know what? It's time for them to shut up sometimes. Stop speaking death into my life. Stop speaking death into my ministry. Stop speaking death into what God has for me. You're not going to rob no longer. I'm sending you away by rebuking your tail. The fourth takeaway is this, that we get, that we find our hope is. In verse 9, it says, the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered, said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who says who to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water?" I want to focus on where it says, the Samaritan woman said to him, to Jesus, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." The takeaway is this. We don't have to provide our hope. We don't even have to come to the table with anything. Jesus had nothing to draw with, but yet he still had the living water inside of him. The Samaritan woman, you think about it, she wasn't just an outcast from the Jews, but she was also an outcast from her very own society. Have you ever felt like you were an outcast or a reject? Listen, you don't have to offer something to the table when you come to the Father's table. You just bring yourself. He provides everything else. He'll provide the hope that you need to walk through the day that you're walking through or the situation that you're walking through. Philippians 4:19 says this, "For God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." That don't mean just finances. That means all of my needs. If I need some hope, he's going to provide that. If I need faith, he's going to provide that. If I need a healing, he's going to provide that. He's going to provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He's not going to leave me shorthanded one bit. Another takeaway that we read in these verses is redemption. See, we keep on reading. We talk about where Jesus prophesied over the woman of where the person she was living with wasn't even her husband. She's been married several times before, and she just gave up on getting married. She just started living with people. But he also was able to use that to reach her heart. And because of that, she went and told the world. You saw redemption in her. Regardless of where she came from, she still was redeemed. Some of us need redemption, don't we? I say all of us need redemption. Some of us just activated it. Here's another small takeaway. If you continue to read, you'll find out that she left her water pail that she brought to bring water behind her. to go and tell everybody in the world about what Jesus did, or at least the community. Sometimes we need to leave our past behind us and start walking to the future and not look backwards. She left what she needed to leave. She left everything behind at the feet of Jesus. I won't forget that there was a time when I was ministering and there was a lady that came to the altar. Every week she would come to the altar. And she would pray, God, take this away. She'll go and leave and come back the next week. God, take this away. And I finally, and I won't tell you everything I told her, but I finally said, listen, you can't drop it off today and pick it up tomorrow. When we leave something at Jesus' feet, we need to leave it and not pick it up. Leave it behind us and not look back. You with me this morning? See, another takeaway that we can get through these, and this is my final takeaway. Not only was it redemption that he brought her, but also, let me ask you, when God gives you hope, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? When God gave her hope, she went and shared it with her whole community. Are you going to hoard it? Are you going to keep it to yourself? Or are you going to tell the world? See, when I first got saved, I had so much zeal, I just had to tell everybody. I had a big mouth anyway. I joined the drama team, and you think about it, I'm full of drama. Anyway, I joined this drama team, and we did street drama. And this is where we did drama, Christian dramas to secular songs to minister to people in the streets. Well, we get to this one set of projects, and we started ministering to people, and we did our dramas, and my leader looked at me, Roger, we have to be at another church. You have 30 minutes to minister to this community, and then we got to leave. You better be back at the van. Yeah, I didn't listen too well. 30 minutes came and gone before I knew it. But I had so much zeal, I had to tell this one lady exactly how much God did for me and how much he delivered me and how much I came out of, and that he could do the same thing for her. She eventually accepted Christ, and to this day, and I have kept in touch with her all these years, to this day, she's still serving the Lord. What are you going to do with your hope? I'm going to invite the worship team up. I want you to think about this. What are you going to do with your hope? Would you stand with me? I want you just to close your eyes as they get ready to play. And I want you just to think about this. You came here today in a certain way, but you don't always have to leave that same way. This morning, you don't have to leave with your shoulders down, your head down, and your heart heavy. But instead, you can leave with your head held high, your arms praising Jesus, and your heart full of joy, full of hope. But that's completely up to you. As they begin to play, I want to ask you the question. Before you can receive the hope of Christ, you must receive him personally. Is there anybody here this morning or online that needs to accept Christ into your heart for the first time? You need the hope that I talked about briefly this morning. You need something more than you've been holding on to. If that is you, just raise your hand briefly. And if you're online, just click I've got saved or something like that. And the second thing I want you to ask you is this. You've been saved. You accepted Christ in your heart, but you're still in a situation and it doesn't look like there's a lot of hope there. Or you've walked through it before and you know what it feels like. And you just want more of that hope. Would you raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you and call you up to the front or prolong the altar call or point you out. But we're going to say a prayer together. If you're the first and you haven't accepted Christ, repeat after me. Father, I come to you from the bottom of my heart. Even though I made mistakes in the past, I want to serve you now. I choose to serve you now, Father. You're my only hope. Father, I ask you to come into my heart and to become my Lord and my Savior. Father, I don't know everything about it, but I do know I need you. I need you living in my heart. Forgive me for the things I've done in my past and help me live for you here in the present. Thank you, Father. If you're the second and you just need that hope, just start praying to him right now. Father, I come to you and I'm asking you. I'm tired, but your hope is in my DNA, and I'm hoping that you will just move in my situation right now. I'm hoping that you will just help me, Father. Be there when I don't see you. Turn everything into good that my enemy has meant for evil for me. Father, let me have the faith that you said that is something hopeful but yet not seen. Father, let me let you lead and I follow. Even though I'm going blindly and I'm going hurt and I'm going broken, I know you're going to lead me to become whole. And I thank you, Father, for who you are. Just for a moment right here, just worship him just for a second. And thank him for what he has done in your life. For the hope that he's bringing you right now. See, I see people's hearts are being filled. Because that's the desire of the Lord.
Hey guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing: God loves you and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that he has for your life.